Hi, this is Dan Steele with your WASA legislative update for Tuesday, January 19th. During the second week of this 2021 legislative session, legislators continued to introduce bills at a pretty fast clip. Over 600 bills have already been introduced, even though legislative leadership has encouraged members to limit bill introductions, knowing that it will be difficult to move bills through the process in this unique virtual session. Many of these bills are essentially statement bills, with sponsors not really expecting any action. Many others are returning bills from previous sessions, along with many bills introduced in preparation for the 2022 session. Several legislative committees have already moved bills to executive action and voted them out of committee. This is a somewhat unusual action in the second week of a long session. However, it's understood that moving bills through the entire legislative process and onto the governor's desk will be cumbersome and take much more time than normal. Giving priority bills a jumpstart will provide a greater chance for them to make it all the way through the entire process. Yesterday, the first bill regarding the reopening of schools was heard in the Senate Early Learning and K-12 Education Committee. Senate Bill 5037 would establish new, clear school opening metrics based on COVID-19 positivity rates within counties. As originally introduced, districts and counties below a 5% positivity standard would have been required to offer in-person instruction to all students. Districts and counties above 5% would have been able to choose how to serve students, whether it be in-person, via distance learning, or a hybrid model. The new metrics, we believe, make sense and provide a greater opportunity for schools to reopen. However, we are concerned about mandating districts to open when they may have inadequate staffing, facilities issues, fiscal issues, or some other unique problem. Before the hearing, however, a substitute bill was introduced with further adjustments to the metrics. Additional language also specifies that districts, even with low positivity rates, would be given a choice of reopening in person with distance learning or a hybrid model. This would maintain local decision-making while also providing that greater opportunity to reopen. We don't believe this bill seems likely to move. However, it will spark a conversation about reopening schools, and it is expected that similar legislation will be passed sometime before the end of this session. The two biggest issues we continue to wrestle with are pupil transportation funding and enrollment stabilization. Legislation was heard in the Senate Early Learning and K-12 Education Committee last week to address the transportation issue. Senate Bill 5128 would allow districts to continue to use school buses to provide expanded services to students, such as distance learning materials and meals, or offering technology solutions. The list is similar to the additional uses authorized in the governor's proclamation issued last summer. The bill also establishes an alternative pupil transportation allocation formula. Essentially, a district would receive 70% of its estimated allocation, assuming in-person instruction. If a district has total expenditures beyond the 70% allocation due to expanded services, they must report the overexpenditures to OSPI, which would provide additional resources. We had hoped this bill would be fast-tracked through the process. However, the bill may be taking a detour, which I'll explain in a moment. Regarding enrollment stabilization funding, we have been meeting with key legislative supporters for the last few months and had agreed upon language for a bill. The bill has not yet been introduced, however, as House leadership appears intent on first taking quick action to authorize the new federal ESSER funds to OSPI and districts. Congress adopted legislation providing over $54 billion to education, and Washington's share is $825 million. 10%, or approximately $82.5 million, will go to OSPI, with the remaining 90%, $742 million, going to school districts being driven out using the Title I formula that was used to provide the previous round of federal ESSER funds. The apparent plan became clearer yesterday with a notice from State Superintendent Chris Reichdahl. The proposal that Reichdahl has provided legislators is for the legislature to take early action to allow OSPI to distribute the federal ESSER II funding connected to reopening of schools and learning loss. Because funding is being driven to school districts using the Title I formula, there will be gaps in the funding. So the legislature then would provide state funds to fill the gaps ESSER II funding leaves for some districts. The plan is intended to backfill transportation losses and stabilize enrollment funding with federal ESSER II funds. Then approximately $240 million of state funds would backfill remaining holes. More detail will be provided in Friday's edition of This Week in Olympia. The release of this proposal is why an enrollment stabilization bill has not been introduced and why we're not expecting Senate Bill 5128, the pupil transportation bill, to move very far. This plan is by no means perfect. Even if the plan shores up transportation and enrollment shortfalls and adequately funds schools, which it likely won't, this is a simple short-term band-aid. We'll continue to need transportation fixes, and this plan won't provide resources for programs that have funding that are determined by enrollment. Without funding adjustments and transportation funding, there may be more of a mess next year. And without policy changes and enrollment, the Learning Assistance Program, institutional education, skill centers, levy lids, and local effort assistance will all be negatively impacted. These kinds of issues are why you need to be engaged in the process, providing testimony or written comments on bills, but more importantly, building relationships with legislators and maintaining regular contact with them. They need to hear your stories. For additional details on the issues discussed today and other legislative activities, be sure to read WASA's legislative newsletter, TWEO, every Friday. Thank you for listening.